All right, welcome back to Hour 2. I promise you this will be a normal hour of the show. After we were cut short in the first hour, we finished up the Bruce Weber interview. You're going to hear part one of that at 5:25. We will play part two of that tomorrow on the show. Tyler and Mitch will have you there. I'll be at Thornton Family Stadium, final home series of the season for K-State. But coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk about Corey Sutton's transfer. And there's a couple things here. One, it makes a lot of sense. And two, I think it shows something about the K-State program. Well, Have You Can't Be Serious as well at 5:50. You can interact with us on Twitter at TheGameKMAN. Or you can call in 537-1350, 866-776-1350. I see you chuckling over there. Is this anything funny that needs to be brought to the air, or can we proceed?
Proceed, please.
Oh, okay. Well,
you do not want a piece of that.
That was a hard pass.
Yeah.
Hard pass on
Let's
that.
Talk
not
about
just a pass, but a hard pass.
I'll take Corey Sutton.
Does it have to do with why I've been angry all day?
Yes.
Okay, I figured probably so. People suck, man. All right. Before we get to Bruce Weber next segment, we have not had a chance to address the Corey Sutton transfer, which we literally found out about like as we were on the way to the sports seminar yesterday in Kansas City. Kudos to the KAB, Kansas Association of Broadcasters, for putting that on. We had a good time yesterday. But this is, you know, at first you see it, Corey Sutton announcing on Twitter that he's going to transfer, just basically gave the generic, I talked to my family, I think this is the best move for me. Corey Sutton, wide receiver, caught four passes as a freshman last year for 54 yards. I think the more and more you dig into it, it was like, okay, this actually makes sense. You see it on the surface, and it's like, wow, well, he just had a pretty nice spring game. He had maybe the most impressive catch of the spring game from Skylar Thompson, 39-yard catch early on in the first quarter. That jars you some, but looking into it, and the bottom line is, there's just a lot of mouths to feed at wide receiver. You start to remember all the conversations we had leading up to the spring game, all the conversations we had talking with Bill Snyder, talking with Sean Snyder at the press conferences. We got them both to go ahead and say on the record that it's about as deep at the skill positions as they can remember. I mean, wide receiver is a part of that. You could argue it's the deepest position on the team. So while Corey Sutton was a promising receiver, at the same time, it did not look like he was going to get his fair share of balls thrown his way just by the sheer volume of good, talented receivers that are in the program right now.
That and the fact that, you know, Jesse Ertz isn't going to average throwing the ball more than 15, 18 times a game or something like that this year. I mean, assuming that K-State's running game and Alex Barnes and everyone else who's involved there are going to be effective, you're not going to see K-State throwing the ball all over the yard. So when you take that into consideration as well, it really can't be that surprising. It is disappointing just from the standpoint of Corey Sutton was a guy that you looked at and said, that's a potential all-Big 12 caliber receiver in a couple of years if everything goes right with him, because he has all the physical tools, there's no doubt.
And that almost makes it more understandable that he's going to transfer, because not only is he buried somewhat on the depth chart, and buried may be the wrong word, but he is at least there are receivers here with better physical attributes than him, at least as of right now. And there are a lot of receivers that he's in line with, in the same group with. And I think he just sees the writing on the wall that there's no seniors there. Sophomores and juniors are what all these receivers are. So it's just going to be really ruthless and competitive at receiver. K-State does not run out five wide receivers all the time. This would be a much different story if it was Texas Tech or something, and you have five wideouts and a Patrick Mahomes type of quarterback to sling it around 50 times a game. Then you can feed more mouths. The K-State offense does not provide for that, I agree with you. But the fact that he has been able to prove that he is a receiver that can legitimately play at this level makes it more understandable that he'd want to transfer. You know, I think it'd be one thing if he came in and he really had struggled. Maybe he'd say, all right, well, I haven't redshirted yet. Take a redshirt year, let some of those juniors pass me up in a couple of years, and then give it a go here at K-State. No, man, he's shown that he can get out there and make an impact at the Big 12 level. He's been arguably the best receiver two spring games in a row. Suppose you'd probably go Isaiah Zuber this past one, but four catches, 61 yards. He was the leading receiver for the white team in 2016. He had three catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown. He did grab four balls as a true freshman playing last year for K-State with all the, you know, inconsistencies of the offense there for a while early on in the year. He was a guy that was catching some passes. He proved to me that he can play at the Big 12 level. So I think he'll find a nice landing spot. And at the same time, as a K-State fan, I think you can understand, like, hey, You want to go play? That's fine, man. It's not going to hurt K-State all that much. He was a luxury. He was frosting on the cake, but the cake's still here. You know, the cake's still here. You're going to be fine at wide receiver without Corey Sutton. So it just seems like a very good mutual parting of ways here.
Yeah, it's obviously not something that you would choose to have happen, and one of the reasons for that is one thing that Corey Sutton did bring to the table that K-State does not have across the board is size at the receiver position. Corey Sutton was at 6'2". You know, Dominique Heath is certainly not 6'2". Isaiah Harris is not 6'2". So K-State's done a better job at bringing in some bigger wide receivers, Byron Pringle and Carlos Strickland, but Corey Sutton was one of them. And it also just, I think that if you look at those receivers, Pringle, Heath, Zuber, Strickland, and Harris, those are five guys that all have the potential to be all Big 12 at some point in their careers, and Sutton was as well. And so now just the math goes against you a little bit, because now instead of having six potential guys that could emerge and be stars, you only have five. And if you're trying to get if you're trying to really develop two or three of those guys, it's going to be harder out of a crop of five guys versus a crop of six. But again, that's splitting hairs, and it really speaks a lot to where K-State is at the wide receiver position, because that's a lot of depth. If you're talking about five guys, even with him gone, that you think could go out there and catch, you know, 800 yards worth of passes.
Well, that's the bigger picture item to this for me, especially if you're thinking of it from a K-State fan and not just the Corey Sutton perspective. And I did want to start with all that just to lay the groundwork of what the situation is, because you should not be running out with pitchforks at Corey Sutton for deciding to transfer. I just want to make you see that this makes sense in a lot of different ways. Now, to bring it all back home and relate it to just the program overall and what you really should care about as a K-State fan, I don't mean to say a transfer is a good thing. Like I said, you'd rather have him in the program. But a transfer like this and the reaction that people have had, which was, you know, some talk, but for the most part, blip on the radar screen of K-State football in 2017, that is really where you have to dig in here and say, man, how deep is the program right now that this has become just a blip on the radar screen? Let me take you back 2 years ago, 2015.
You would have been starving for Corey Sutton on that.
No doubt. Think about that receiver core. I mean, there are a lot of problems with that offense, and no offense to these guys, but they just lacked a lot of explosiveness. It was Deontay Burton. It was first year getting out on the field, Dominique Heath. It was Kyle Klein. It was Cody Cook, who was having to spend half his time playing quarterback. Yes, you would have killed for Corey Sutton to be there. And that was the year that Corey Sutton was recruited. So he's thinking, hey, I'm coming into a place where there's going to be a lot of playing time available. Well, we know what's happened since then. They've added Byron Pringle. They have also added Carlos Strickland, which no one had any idea about at that point in time in 2015. And you've just seen the emergence of Zuber and Heath, who have continued to develop here in the program. And all of a sudden, you're in this great spot where you're really deep. And wide receiver, while it may be the deepest position on the team, it's pretty indicative of how a lot of the position groups are right now with this team. And that's why everybody is so excited. So, honestly, Corey Sutton transferring and realizing why it's happening is a good way to step back and look at it and say, man, the program is in great shape right now. Good shape.
It was about a year ago now that I said that I thought K-State's linebackers were among the deepest groups that K-State had had under Bill Snyder, and you lost your mind, and I did back off. I backed off a little bit when I, you know, went back and looked at some of those rosters from 97 and 98, and I get that. But I think that this wide receiver group is pretty darn close to those same kind of accolades. I know that K-State had some really solid receivers to throw the ball to back in, you know, the late 90s, early 2000s, and of course when you had Tyler Lockett and Curry Sexton that you were throwing the ball to with Jake Waters, that was very good as well. But I don't know if K-State that I can remember has had this many different guys that all seem to have number one receiver potential. That's probably how I would phrase this.
Well, to me, there's two guys that really have like top end what you would think of being an explosive Big 12 receiver. Can be the big ticket. Like you're referencing, like Darnell McDonald, James Terry,
right?
Some of those guys from the past, Quincy Morgan, who might be the best out of that group. I think there's two guys that have that potential. It's Byron Pringle and Carlos Strickland. I mean, Dominique Heath is terrific at what he does, playing the Tremaine Thompson role, and Tremaine Thompson was awesome.
I think Zuber has a conversation there.
I think he's in the same type of mold as Dominique Heath. if he can put it together. And Isaiah Harris is almost like a Dominique Heath clone, who again looks very promising. But regardless, that is splitting hairs. There are a lot of receivers here with a lot of talent that we feel very good about in the program, and that's the bottom line. And it receiver is leading the pack, but started thinking about all the positions right now on the team. Roll through quarterback, receiver, running back, offensive line, defensive end. You could survive a transfer there. You know, so many position groups are so deep, you don't want to have transfers, but they have, you know, the capability to withstand that. There's only a couple positions. To me, the two for sure that you would not really be able to withstand a transfer and feel good about it, defensive tackle and safety. But outside of that, you can make an argument that you'd be fine everywhere else, even linebacker, just because there are so many bodies and a lot of athleticism mixed with program guys who've been around for a while.
I mean, fans have been talking about for the last several months now, they want to find a position to move Alex Delton to. Alex Delton, who came in as a fringe 3- or 4-star quarterback, depending on where you looked, and a lot of people thought that he was the future. Now people are saying, well, could he go to running back because he's not going to play quarterback? Well, no, he can't go there because they're too deep there. Could he go to wide receiver? No, too deep there. I mean, it's a great problem to have when you can't find a place on the field for one of the most athletic guys on your team. But it's certainly a position the K-State has not been in very much under Snyder 2.0.
It's a testament to where the program is at. And while we don't really know right now if there are top-end guys like Arthur Brown, Colin Klein, that were around in 2012, if you're talking about just quality depth, this seems like it could rival any team of Snyder 2.0. You know, I feel very comfortable saying that. And I hate to have it be a Corey Sutton transfer because I did really like what I saw from him to be the reason that we sit here and talk about it and realize it and have that be what makes you reflect on just what a good spot the program's at right now. But that's the natural way I went with it. So I'm cool with it, at least from my standpoint. I wish Corey Sutton the best. K-State's going to be quite all right, my friends. Later on, you can't be serious at 550. 540, Eric Stonestreet gave K-State some awesome publicity on the Dan Patrick Show yesterday. But coming up next, part one of the Bruce Weber interview that we taped earlier today. How big of an impact does Bruce Weber think Amon Wainwright and McCall Maween, the two newcomers that have just been signed here in the last month, how big of an impact are they going to have? Bruce Weber will tell you next.